Luke chapter 8, brethren. I want to focus on this one exhortation right here in verse 18. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. Now, this is God. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. And He gives the same exhortation in Matthew and in Mark. That means this is very, very important. Do you take heed how you hear the Word of God? When I come to preach a message, usually, on average, I've spent at least 24 hours on the message. Sometimes longer than that. Do we take that long to prepare to hear the message? I don't just mean prior to coming, although I do mean that, but then after the message is preached, to search it, to read it, to listen again, to seek God's grace and God's understanding and God's teaching in the heart. Take heed how you hear. Here are four reasons to heed how we hear. Four reasons. First, Christ had just... Notice there that word, therefore. You see, He says, take heed therefore how you hear. Christ had just given the parable of the sower. And in the parable of the sower, one out of the four hearers heard and was saved. One out of four. Just one. Just one. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. And then secondly, the Lord said that He gives us grace. And He gives us light so that we might teach others what He's taught us through the gospel. He said there in verse 16, no man, when he's lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or put it under the bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. He's sending forth His disciples, and He's sending us forth to preach the word. And He says, so take heed, therefore, how you hear. And then thirdly, He gives more grace to know Him more, to grow in grace, to walk after Him, to serve Him. He gives us more grace, and He does it through this Word. And by the same token, those that appear to have grace, but really have no heart for Christ, He takes from them even the Word that they have and the privileges that they have. That's a reason for us to heed the gospel. That's a reason for us to heed the gospel. He said there in verse 18, for, that means because, whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seems to have. And then lastly, as we heed the word, and we sit at Christ's feet, and we hear the gospel preached, and our hearts are set on knowing Him more, and we want to seek Him more, and we're determined, I'm not going to let anything interfere with seeking His face. More and more, I want to know Him, not just in this hour, but all in our life. We're at His feet wanting to hear what He has to say. You know what He says about folks who do that? He said, these are my real brethren. They've heard me say this. They've heard me say, take heed how you hear. And they've done it. And He says there at the end of verse 21, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. And do it. So our subject is heed how we hear. Now here's the first reason. Very few have grace to hear. This is a great privilege. A great privilege. Look here in this parable of the sower. 1 and 4 heard. Let's see how these others heard. Look here in verse 4. When much people were gathered together, they all came together. There they are together. It says, and were come to him. They came to him out of every city. They gathered there to hear. He's the preacher. And he spake by a parable. And he said, a sower went out to sow his seed. It's just the picture. You know, the farmer sowing the seed in the garden. Now, the chief sower is Christ. That's who's sowing the seed here in this text. And Christ now, from his throne in glory, uses his faithful messengers, a preacher, just like me, standing here tonight, preaching to you. Try to get this in your heart and understanding. It's not a man standing here preaching to you. If you're going to hear it, if it comes in truth, if the Lord's blessing it, if the Spirit of God's meeting with us, it's Christ preaching. It's Christ preaching. We ought to try to hear that, understand that, get the vessel out of the way and hear Christ speaking. It's Christ speaking. And the seed that's sown is the truth. It's the Word of God. Look there in verse 11. He says, now the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. It's the truth of the gospel. We preach the truth of the Scriptures. We don't preach our Word. We preach God's Word. And we declare that Adam was a representative man, representing all men in this world, and that when he sinned in the garden, he broke God's law. He broke the covenant of works. And he died, and he fell, and he fell under a curse. And everybody he represented, all men, fell under that curse. And being born of him, we don't have a will to seek God. We don't have an understanding of God. We don't have a knowledge of God. And we can't make ourselves have it. But God, before the world was made, in eternity, he chose a people. He elected a people and gave them to Christ. And Christ is the last Adam. He represented his people. And Christ came forth and he was made flesh like his brethren in this earth. And in his flesh, he laid down his life for his people. And he was made a curse for us, for his people only. And by that, he redeemed his people from the curse of the law. And we preach that the Holy Spirit of God, God the Holy Spirit, comes and he regenerates us because we're dead. He comes to each one of those. We saw Sunday that light going forth like the sun. The gospel's the light going forth. And we're seeking God's lost sheep. That's who we're seeking. And Christ is going to come and he's going to quicken through the Holy Spirit. He's going to quicken his people, regenerate them. And grant them faith and repentance and bring them to cast their care on Christ. And it's through this word. Now this is what's so vitally important. It's through the preaching of the gospel that he's going to do this. Through the sowing of the word that he's going to do this work in his people. Look over there with me at 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 22, he's speaking to believers here, and he said, let's begin in verse 21. He says, by him we do believe in God, by Christ, that raised him up from the dead and gave him the glory, so that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing you've purified your souls in obeying the truth, the Word of God, through the Spirit. Unto unfeigned, unhypocritical love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently. A good heart, an honest heart, a sincere heart. A heart made new by grace. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God. By the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For, why do I have to be born again? Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. Here's what that means. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the Word, that Word whereby we're born again, the Word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Now knowing that God's going to, He births His children through this word preached. And it's by this word that we have eternal life and shall endure forever, even as the word by which we've been born. What should we do then? Look at the next verse. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisy and envy and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby, if so be you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. Even if you've been in the faith a long time, still desire the word like you're a newborn baby. And like that's above everything else. This is that first love that he says, don't ever lose this. As newborn babies desire the sincere milk of the word. Just like a newborn. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. So this gospel, you see, it's vitally important. And you know what I've seen? I've seen this since about 1985, when I started paying attention. I've seen young people sit with their parents under the sound of the gospel. I've seen older people sit with their children under the sound of the gospel. Children get to be about 18, 19, 20 years old. They move out of the house, from mom and dad, and they stop coming to hear the gospel preached. I've seen grown folks. Got their children raised, had them sitting under the sound of the gospel, got their children raised, got them out of the house, and they quit coming to hear the gospel. Don't ever take for granted the fact that we have the gospel preached in truth. It's a rare thing. That's a rare thing. Do you know what a privilege God's given us to have the gospel preached to us in truth? That's a rare thing, brethren. I mean, it's rare. And don't ever forsake hearing the preaching of the gospel. I'm talking to believer and unbeliever alike. Don't ever forsake it. Because if God saves you, He will save you by this means of the preaching of the gospel. That goes for unbeliever and believer alike. If he's going to quicken you and give you life, He's going to do it through the word. And if He's going to save you from that hour to the last hour, He's going to do it through the word. The scripture says, after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. He showed what man's wisdom would do. The man by his wisdom didn't know God. And he said, God said, this is how I determine we're going to do it from here on out. We're going to do it by preaching. Because it pleases God. That's why. That's why. So come consistently. You know, I wanted to preach this message Sunday, and you know why the thought crossed my mind to preach it Sunday? There'll be more in attendance. Isn't that sad? I know some can't come. Some live too far off to come on Thursday night. And most everybody is consistent. They come. But I just thought about our young people, you know. But the word just kept, I had to preach it tonight. But come consistently. And when you come, come in this place and open your Bible and turn in the scriptures, and listen attentively, listen believingly, listen expectantly, listen in hopes that God will give you faith to believe and life to believe. Do that. I'm serious. Do that. And remember, this just one out of four of these people heard. One out of four. All right. First of all, now here's the wayside hearer. How did they hear? Verse 5. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Verse 12, he tells us what that means. Those by the wayside are they that hear, and then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Wayside hearers are the most common kind of hearers there are. You know what a wayside is? A wayside is a bypath. It's a path, you know, over to the side or in a certain way where a lot of people pass through it. And so many people go through it, and there's so many tracks that's gone through that they've just pressed the ground down so it's just so hard. It's almost like concrete. And that's how he describes the heart of the wayside hearer. That's what he's like. The word comes and it's trodden down. It's trodden underfoot. It's trodden underfoot. Now, you think about this. Sinner, when you sit here and you listen and you hear the word, are you a wayside hearer? Is this how you hear? Now listen, a wayside hearer is somebody who their mind is going down every kind of path as they're sitting there listening. They're thinking of all other kind of things, and they're off over here somewhere, and they're, listen, I'm telling you something. God's going to get you. God's going to describe you right here. In one of these four hearers, God's going to describe everybody in this room. Somebody's going to fit into one of these categories. Everybody here is going to fit in one of these categories. A wayside hearer is a person who, there's so many people that he wants to be pleased with and wants to accept him, that when he's hearing this gospel, he has his mind on fitting in with those people and thinks, if I give my attention to this word, and if God were to do something for me, and God were to, and I were to really try to seek Christ and go after Christ, I'm going to offend my friends. I'm not going to fit in with my friends. I'm going to tell you something. That's a broad way you're in. You're in a broad way, and there's a lot of people going that wayside, and they're trodden down, and they're trodden underfoot the Word of God. Don't be duped by Satan. Don't be duped by this world. Don't go with the flow. Don't be a man pleaser. Don't be somebody that you're afraid of man. You're afraid of man. Why do folks go out and do everything the world does? Why do they dress like the world and act like the world and get marked up from head to toe like the world and get so many piercings they look like they fell in a tackle box? Why do folks do like that? Because they're afraid of man. That's why. What are they going to say about me if I don't do it? Afraid of man. Be afraid of God, not afraid of man. So the word falls on your heart, but it never penetrates any deeper. That's as far as it goes. It goes in the ear, and the fowls of the air devoured it. He says, that's the devil that comes and takes away the word out of your heart, lest you should hear and be saved. That's sad, but the majority to whom I preach are wayside hearers. They'll never hear the word of God. They'll never hear the word of God. The wayside hearer tries not to hear, too. I'm not blind. I sit here and preach, and I can see who's trying not to hear. You can see that when you're preaching. They try not to hear. Try their best not to hear. Tune it out. Not hear it. That's offensive. That's offensive to me. I've spent a lot of time praying for you, seeking a message for you, and I intend for you to at least pick up this Bible and look into it and see what God says. It's offensive to your mothers, believing mothers and fathers, believing brothers and sisters, because you know what the wayside here is saying? That might be good enough for y'all, but he ain't good enough for me. I'm too good for that. And it's offensive to my God, my Father, my Redeemer, my brother, my King, my Savior. It's offensive. And worst of all, it's offensive to your own soul. You're doing nobody else harm but yourself. But yourself. That's it. Abraham did? It said when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. How can I do that? I don't know God. I don't believe God. How can I do that? Well, you can give your undivided attention. You can look up the scriptures. You can listen with earnest. And when the message ends, don't fill your mind with vain talk. Think about what you heard and go home and ask God to show it to you and seek a word from God. You can do that. You can do that. Secondly, here's the stony ground here, verse 6. Some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Verse 13, he says, they on the rock are they which when they hear, they receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation, they fall away. The word finds an entrance with these hearers. They receive the word with joy. They receive it. But the word only goes as far as the natural judgment. Some people that fit into this category, all religion is the same to them. You could preach particular redemption and just right in the middle of the message change and preach universal redemption, and they'd never even hear a difference. And everything that just has the sound of love and mercy and feely-feely touchy, they just love it. And it's just they receive it with joy. It don't matter. And then there are others who have heard the truth of the gospel all their life. They've sat on the gospel. Most of our young people, you've heard the truth all your life. And they know the doctrine. And they receive the doctrine. They understand it. They can tell you total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, invincible grace, perseverance of the saints, absolute sovereignty of God. They can tell you these things. And maybe they can pick up the scripture and show you in the scripture. Maybe they can argue these things. But with all of these people, here's the problem. Here's the problem. It says, in time of temptation, they fall away. When affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they're offended. That's what he said in Matthew. What's the problem? They don't have moisture, he said. They lack moisture. The Holy Spirit hasn't given the dew of life in the heart. Hadn't made the doctrine come down and distill in the heart like dew upon the tender herb. The problem is they don't have root. Christ has not been formed in you. That's the problem. There's no new heart. It hadn't been plowed up. The ground hadn't been broken up. They haven't been convicted of their sin. Haven't been shown that all their righteousnesses are filthy rags. They haven't been shown that Christ is their one need and they have to have Christ. Without Christ, you cannot come into God's presence. They haven't been shown these things. It's not been a work of grace done. They don't have the love of Christ dwelling in their heart. So it's not their father that you're talking about. It's not their elder brother that you're talking about. It's not their Redeemer. It's not their Holy Spirit you're talking about. And so, you can badmouth them. That's okay. It's just doctrine. Just a system of doctrine. You can believe that one. I'll believe this. We'll say this is the one area in our life where a lie can be true, and we'll just move on. But when the love of God's in your heart and it's your Father, then everything changes. That changes then. Now you talk. Now it's personal. I wouldn't stand by and let somebody badmouth my earthly father. I'm not going to stand by and let them badmouth my heavenly father either. It means something to me now. Because he's put his love for me in my heart and given me a love for him. So they wither away, and they do this in various ways. Some wither away in free will works religion. Any religion will do. Some wither away back to their sins. Temptation comes along and that there's a sin. I'd rather be in this and do this than keep worshiping God. Sometimes there's some that have unbelievers that they love or they admire or whatever, and they'd rather be with them. And so they fade away, be with them. Some continue to fill a seat, but they just grow lukewarm and then cold. It's just form. It's just a form is all it is. Going through a routine. You know, It's strange how, and I've seen this happen over and over and over. Folks come and they rejoice, and you think God's done a work of grace in them. You just know He has. And they just fade away. They just fade away. And you hope the best. You pray for them, and you pray that if they came back, you treat them just like you did if they never left. But most of the time, you never see them again. Never see them again. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. Beg Christ to accompany the Word. Beg the Holy Spirit to form Christ in you and to give you that moisture of life, eternal life. Beg God the Father to plant you, that you'll be a tree of righteousness. Christ said, every tree that my Heavenly Father has not planted, it'll be rooted up. I want to be planted by Him. I want to be planted by Him. I want to have my roots running deep by His grace, don't you? I guarantee you this, this will make a true believer take heed how we hear. Because if you know yourself, you know this could be you. This could be you. This could be me. I pray, God, keep me. Don't let me fall away. Keep me. Except Christ abide in us and we in Christ, we don't have any root in ourselves and we can't abide. He's our strength. We got to have Him. Here's the thorny ground here right now. Here's the third kind. It says, verse 7, some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And then in verse 14, he says, that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, they go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of life, and they bring no fruit to perfection. This one right here may last a lot longer. He may stay a lot longer under the sound of the gospel. They may preach. They didn't rise up with joy and then immediately fall away. These stayed around a little while. And they might preach. And they might serve in some other capacity in the church. But they're around and they appear to bear fruit. But it's dead fruit. It's not fruit to perfection. What's their problem? These are doing what Christ said can never be done. Christ said this can never be done. A man cannot serve God and mammon. It's an impossibility. It cannot happen. What is mammon? What does that mean, mammon? It includes, first of all, the cares of this world. That's what he said there, the cares of this world. And we're not talking about useless, trivial cares here. We're talking about true cares. We're talking about having a spouse you got to care for, children you have to care for, an occupation, paying the bills, serving the community, real cares. And then it's the deceitfulness of riches. You know, it starts out at first, you're just trying to get a nest egg. And then you like that nest egg. And then you start thinking that nest egg is your salvation. Or it's stuffitis. You just got to have stuff. Or you got to keep up with the Joneses. Materialism. Always got to have something a little better. Got to have the newest thing. Got to do this and that. We are long, every one of us sitting here are a long, long ways from being poor. Did you know that? We're not hurting. Not anybody in this room. We are a long ways from being poor. The pleasures of this life. That's mammon. What is that? That's applause. Applause, acceptance, honors, power, position, pleasing the senses. Now, this is what the Lord said. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, this is so. The treasure of the heart always wins out. Whatever the treasure of the heart is, it always wins out. That's what that word means. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If Christ is our treasure, these other things will take a back seat. And if they start getting in the way, we'll say, I got to have Christ. These things aren't worth parting with Christ for. But if these things are really the treasure, it may take a little while, but eventually they're going to choke the word and suffocate that sinner, and he's going to become unprofitable. Totally unprofitable. Christ said, no man can serve two masters. For either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, these three hearers right here, the wayside hearer, the stony ground hearer, and the thorny ground hearer, these make up the majority of people who hear the gospel. Now, does that make you who believe, does it make you uneasy? It makes me uneasy. I'll be honest with you. It really does. As I was working on this message, I thought I could fit into any one of those categories. That could end up being me. It could end up being me tomorrow or maybe 5 years or 10 years or 25 years. But that could be me. And I tell you what, the best way sometimes to preach depravity is to look into a text like this right here. And you'll begin to see what you are. And you'll begin to think, yep, that depravity is me. That's what's in my old man of flesh. And if God doesn't keep his hand on me and keep me hedged about and keep his word planted in my heart, that'll be me. In a heartbeat. In a heartbeat. Therefore, take heed how you hear. Don't take for granted the grace of God. Don't presume upon God's grace at all. Take heed how you hear. Now, here are the good ground hearers. Verse 8. He says, and other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And then down in verse 15, he tells us, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart. Where does an honest and good heart come from? It comes from God. It comes from the Holy Spirit creating us anew in righteousness and true holiness, making us honest about our sin, making us honest about what we thought was our righteousnesses, making us honest about our self-righteousness, making us honest that we need Christ and Him alone, and making us come to Him in sincerity and truth, without guile and hypocrisy, and without worrying about what folks think. And it says here, and it says they, in an honest and good heart, they hear the word. Christ has sent it in truth, and we hear it. How do you hear? The hearing ear is from God. He gives it. And they keep it. Who makes us willing in the day of His power? He does. That means we receive it and we keep it. By grace are you saved through faith. And that's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Not of works. He didn't do it because He foresaw some merit in us. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And then they all bear fruit. It's not always the same fruit, but they all bear fruit. And they all bear fruit by God's grace. Now, one of the fruits that they bear is this right here, brethren. This is a good ground hearer. Watch this. They take heed how they hear. Look at verse 8. It says there in the second part, and when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Two different reactions came about from that. Two very different reactions. Here's the good ground hearer. It says, verse 9, and the disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? You see, they took heed how they heard. They didn't understand. They didn't understand what he was saying. And they wanted to understand. They wanted to know what their Redeemer was teaching. And so they went to Him. They took the trouble of waiting till they could have an opportunity to be alone and go to Him and ask Him, Lord, teach me what this means. I want to know what this means. They took heed to how they hear. Well, preacher, how do you expect me to know how to hear? I don't know what you're talking about, and I don't hear it, and I don't understand it. When I read these scriptures, they don't mean anything to me. How am I supposed to take heed to how I hear? Do you listen? Do you open your Bible? Do you go home and ask Christ to give you an understanding? Do you listen to it again and search the Word along with the message and the notes and all after you've heard the Word? Do you try to hear? That's what I'm saying. We've got some here. You've got athletes in your families, and some of you are athletes. Do you listen to what your coach says? Do you give an effort to understand the playbook? Do you give yourself to practice on the field and off the field? If not, you can't be expected to be used by the coach. You can't be expected for the team to want you to play. Listen to what the scriptures say about the Bereans. Listen to this. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. These were people in Berea. It said, in that they received the word with all readiness. They just came ready, eager. I want to hear. And it says, readiness of mind. And they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. They didn't just sit and listen. They listened. And then they went home and they took the scriptures and looked these things up to see if these things were so. And it says, therefore, many believed. Also, honorable women which were Greeks, and of men not a few. You see, they honored Christ. The light Christ gave them was this. He gave them a gospel. The gospel preached. He gave them a preacher to preach it. He gave them a place to meet, a place to hear. And He gave them the scriptures. And they took what light God gave them. And they assembled where He sent the word. And they listened with all readiness of mind. And they took those scriptures and they searched those scriptures. And you know what Christ did? Because they honored Him with using the light He gave them, He gave them a heart to believe. He gave them faith to believe. That's what I'm saying. I'm just talking about, we're not talking about deep doctrine and deep mysteries. We're talking about just weighed out as far as God says weighed out here. Here's as far as I've told you to step out. Now you step right this far into this light and walk in this little bit of light I've given you. You walk in this light. But if I'm going to close my eyes and put my head down, put my hand on my ears, and I'm not going to walk in the light God's given me, what do I think is going to happen? Let me apply this to you who've never heard the gospel. Look, remember this. Let me go on here. I want to show you this too. Let me show you. Here's another reason. Verse 18. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seems to have. Now, notice what Christ said of his disciples and what Christ said of the other kind of hearers. Back up here in verse 10. He said unto you, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. You know who these were? These were the ones that came to him and said, Lord, teach us what this meant. He said unto you, it's given to know the mysteries of God. But do you see anything in this text about those other hearers? No. They didn't come and ask him anything. And he said, but to others I speak in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now, we don't have any light by nature. So for God to give it, it says he gives to him that hath. For us to have, he has to give it to us in the first place. And he's going to do that by his grace, but he's going to do that by this word. So we need to heed this word. And then for you who do know and do hear and do have already, he's going to grow us more by this word. And so all cases here, take heed how you hear. Now look, these disciples used the grace he gave, and they came to him for understanding, and he said, it's given to you to know. These others, they said, yeah, we see. And they walked off. Yeah, we hear. We heard it. They walked off. And he said, and because you think you see and you think you hear, I'm going to leave you blind as a bat and deaf as a doorknob. Now, that's just so. They didn't take heed. They didn't take heed. And eventually, he took away even that which they seemed to have. I don't want to be there, do you? Look at this next thing. Another reason Christ teaches us to heed how we hear is because the Lord gives us light so we can bear witness to others. This is for believers. Back in verse 16, he says, he just told them this in secret in a parable. But he said, now no man, when he's lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel or putteth under a bed, but setteth on a candlestick that they which enter in may see the light. They came to him like dark candlesticks. And they came to him and he told them the truth. He taught them the truth and he lit them. And he said to him, now I'm not lighting you so you can just stay in here in the dark and this can stay hidden. And he says there, verse 17, for nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything that's hid that shall not be known, that shall not come abroad. He says, therefore take heed how you hear. What he's saying there, brethren, is this gospel is not always going to be in parables. He said, well, I walk this earth, I'm the light of the world. And at that time, he was fulfilling prophecy. Israel wouldn't hear. They wouldn't walk in the light God gave them. And so he said through Isaiah, you can't hear. I'm not going to let you hear. And he turned them over to reprobation. And Christ is fulfilling that. But Christ is telling his apostles, now you be sure you understand, that's not how it's always going to be. I'm going to send you forth when I've arisen, and you're going to go forth with this light, preaching this gospel everywhere in this world to everybody. And so he says, so therefore, as you're listening to me tell you this, you be sure you understand and you heed and be careful how you hear. Now, he said there, to him that hath, he'll give more. He told us, freely you receive, freely give. And he uses that same phrase, about meeting it. According to the gospel, listen to this. He said, take heed what you hear, with what measure you meet it, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. In other words, if I take this gospel and I really diligently meet the grace God's given me with some effort to seek his face, he said, more will be given to you. If I take this word and he says, go preach it, and I go preach it everywhere he'll send me to preach it, and I preach it without reservation, and I walk in the light he's given me, when he opens the door, Speak the truth to somebody. If he opens a door here, speak the truth to somebody. And don't hold back. You meet it with the same light that he's given you. Where he's opened it and he's opened that door and he's given you an opportunity, do it. Go for it. And he says, and it'll be given to you. And he used that same phrase in another place. He said, give, it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall man give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet it with, shall it be measured to you again. Now he's talking about giving there, but what I'm saying to you is, I firmly believe this. I believe that the more I take advantage of every opportunity I have to teach our young people, to send you the sermon notes, to try to encourage you to hear, to preach this gospel to you, I'd preach it 7 days a week if our flesh would let us do it. I really would. What else, what better would you be doing? Honestly. And I do believe that Christ honors those that sincerely, from a heart of faith, trust in Him, looking to Him, simply because they're constrained by His love. I believe Christ will honor it. I believe He will. And that's what He's saying there. This, when we apply ourselves to know more of Christ, it's just not only that He gives us more grace personally to hear, which He does, and it's not only that He increases our personal fruitfulness, which He does, but the fruit that He also says He'll increase for us, brethren, are redeemed sinners that He's going to call out by the word of His gospel. Do you want some of the burden to be taken off of you? Do you want some of the burden of all this? You want other brethren to be brought in so we can all carry this load together? Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. I'm telling you, here's the last thing. He brings this home right here. The one last reason He gives why we should take heed how we hear is this right here. Always look at these scriptures. They could be taken separately and preached individually, but you can read these together and you see Christ is using everything that's taking place to show us something. And some of the Gospels put these in different order, and they're meant to show something in that context. But here, it says the next thing that happened is He's preaching. He's sitting there preaching. And his mother and his brethren come and they can't get to Him because of all the people that are there. And it says this, verse 20, and it was told him, thy mother and thy brethren stand without. They're not there at His feet. They're out there. I don't know what they've been doing. Maybe they weren't doing anything wrong. They just weren't there at the time and they couldn't get there when they got there because everybody was already there under His feet. So He used it as an opportunity for a lesson. Or maybe they were out doing something and they let something come between Him and them. Some of His brethren didn't even believe Him at all. But they were without. They were without on the outside. And look at what He said. Verse 21. My mother, my brethren are these. Right here. Standing under my feet. Which hear the word of God. And they do it. These are my brethren. These are my brethren. That's reason enough, isn't it? Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, to say, I take that to mean this. Those that Christ considers to be His true brethren are those who hear Him say, take heed how you hear. They hear Him say that, and so they do it. They really do it. They don't get up from the message and walk out and forget what they heard and wake up tomorrow and start tomorrow all over like they did today and go on with the same old routine and not do anything differently as if they've just heard a tale, a story, a fictional thing to pass the time. He says, they hear my word and they take heed and they do it. They do it. And He says, these are my brethren. You know why? Because they really have the Word of God working in their heart. That's right. He's really speaking through their heart. Now here they are. A few hear this. One out of four. That's why we ought to take heed how we hear. Those who heed His Word will be given more grace. They'll be given more grace. Those who don't, He'll take away that which they seem to have. Here's the third reason. We're sent to bear witness of Him. I'm going to bear witness of Him. I've got to take heed to His Word. I'm bearing witness in my Word and in my life. I've got to take heed to what He says. If I'm going to bear witness of Him. And lastly, those that do, they're His brethren. They're true. They're genuine. True family. Take heed how you hear. Take heed how you hear. Amen.